Police unions in Great Britain are advising their members not to volunteer to work at the G8 summit in Northern Ireland in June this year. At least one police federation from the West Midlands in England says, quote, they do not support the deployment of mainland officers into Northern Ireland for the safety of our own members and that of our colleagues within the PSNI. The DUP MLA, Gregory Campbell, joining us this morning. Morning to you, Gregory.
Good morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts here? I'm actually wondering if this is unprecedented.
Well, it is very unusual. I certainly haven't come across something like this before. And I know that on other occasions when, for example, MEP officers and other officers from different parts of GB have been seconded to Northern Ireland, there hasn't been a problem. So I'm not quite sure about the underlying reasons for this. But there are two things that stand out. First thing is, Stephen, that the security of those attending the G8 has to be paramount. Secondly, and equal to that, the security of people in Northern Ireland as a result of the G8 has to be paramount. So I'm sure the Chief Constable will take whatever steps he has to take in order to ensure that those two things occur. But I agree, this is a most unusual event, and I would like to get more information about the background of what brought about this advice or information that's been disseminated from West Midlands Police Federation.
I'll tell you what, Gregory, just to let you know, there was a further twist this morning because West Midlands Police Federation were about to come on the Nolan Show, and then at the very last moment, the interview was pulled. So there is obviously something going on behind the scenes here. They were very happy to come on, and then within minutes, just before broadcast, bang, the interview is pulled, which just makes us even more intrigued. And if you look at the email and the advice that the West Midlands Police Federation have actually sent out, they say, dear members, with regard to the force requesting officers to volunteer for the G8 summit in Northern Ireland in June this year, our current advice to members is not to volunteer until risks have been indemnified for our members. Now, what does that mean? How can you indemnify a risk in Northern Ireland?
Well, hopefully it's not down to some sort of insurance indemnification. I don't understand this, Stephen. I think we do need immediate clarification from, I think the Chief Constable now needs to make his position clear to ensure that the numbers of officers that he requires are going to be supplied wherever they're going to come from, and that the event goes off without a hitch. Security is supplied locally and internationally, and more importantly, Stephen, or as importantly as that, the event, which is a big event, actually attracts all the good news stories to Northern Ireland as well as security provision.
When you think of the riots that there were after the Tottenham riots in England and how the PSNI immediately offered help when it was asked for, and it would be an interesting commentary that we would have in Northern Ireland if, when we need help here at the G8, that we are shunned by some police forces which are part of the United Kingdom.
Yes, and my understanding about the email is that it points out some very obvious information that I would assume police officers in GB would be aware of anyway. You know, no police officer is going to come to Northern Ireland unaware of the generalities of the problems that are here. And pointing them, those generalities being pointed out by a police federation, I don't think are really going to change the mind of police officers who either want to come and are happy to come or are not interested in coming and simply will disregard the email. So I don't understand the rationale or the underlying emphasis behind it, and I think we do need some explanations.
All right, Gregory, thank you. The security journalist Chris Ryder with us this morning. John O'Connor's a former commander of Scotland Yard as well. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. Chris, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I can tell you that as far back as 1969, the government wanted to send police officers to Northern Ireland, and it was opposed rigorously by the Police Federation, and the idea was dropped. But in recent years, as the army is no longer available to Pisney as a backup, the police commanders in Britain and here have worked out a system of mutual aid, that which applies on the rest of the United Kingdom. because you can send forces up and down a motorway. But sending police to Northern Ireland is a very difficult situation. It's very different. It hasn't been done before. And there is very, very serious reservations about it on the part of the rank and file in the police. Now, the commanders in the police who have put this policy at ACPO, the chief constable, haven't really tackled the practical, logistical problems to reassure officers what they can expect in Northern Ireland, to train them for a role in Northern Ireland, to make them aware of the particular difficulties in policing Northern Ireland. And this is what is behind this, that they want to have cast iron assurances. They want to have about, for example, who would pay for injuries, who would pay compensation in the event of something serious happening to an officer. They want to know what conditions they'll be in. They want to know what their own personal security will be.
Sure, I get all that. But the point is this. The G8 is in June of this year. We're nearly in March. You would have thought that that type of thing would have... This is a major worldwide event.
This is the point, Stephen.
You would have thought with a few months before June, this would all have been sorted by the PSNI and others.
That's what one would have expected. But let me tell you that they've been toying with this idea of mutual aid because there are very serious concerns that if the PSNI were to face a serious period of sustained public disorder or a big event of this sort, that they just do not have enough resources on the ground. And I've been on your programme before, Stephen, in the last few months, saying that the police service here is under strength. It needs what's called independent surge capacity to deal with public order, and there's nothing done about it. It needs the Federation want another 1,000 officers here because they know precisely the opposition there is to rank and file officers coming to serve over here to support the PSNI. And this is really a serious failure on the part of the policing board and the chief constable here, that they haven't tied down the details of mutual aid already. And if it's impractical, that they haven't found other ways to deal with it. And this has been going on for 3 or 4 years.
But we don't know how many volunteers, Chris.
Of the G8 summit. The problem has risen.
Yeah, we don't know how many volunteers they want or if indeed they have enough volunteers already.
I'm told, Stephen, that there are two things are happening now. There have been some talks and some reassurances have been given. I'm told that there's a lot of police officers in all the big main forces who will be affected are already volunteering. And I'm told that in the extremis, that if they don't have sufficient numbers and they need up to 4,000, that their chief constables in Britain can order their officers to come to Northern Ireland and support the PSNI. That, obviously, would only be an extremist, but the powers do exist.
Let's ask John O'Connor for his view on this, former commander of Scotland Yard. What would the concern be, John, among the rank and file, do you think?
Well, I think there's a stereotyped image of what it's like in Northern Ireland amongst people who are probably not that very well aware of the realities of how Northern Ireland is today. And so I think that some of them will be easily swayed by either advice from the Federation or by fears from their own families that they would probably be reluctant to volunteer. I'm actually more concerned about what role that they would play. Are they expected to come over, send armed officers over there? In which case, that would be politically quite a departure from the sort of things that volunteering police to serve in another area. To bring guns in with them might be seen to be make them a bit more of a target. I'm a bit concerned about what the role would be. Can I just put one thing right, by the way? The Metropolitan Police have served in Northern Ireland, and they did so in 1969 when the flying squad were sent over there to try and gather intelligence and to get evidence against IRA activists.
That was 4 to 6 officers. It wasn't a big deployment on the scale that's been talked about now.
I said it's not unprecedented that they've been there. And eventually, when Sir Robert Mark became the commissioner, he stopped that aid going over there. But there were officers that were there at one time. I personally think that the Federation have overset the mark here. This is not a matter for the Federation. Federation really should keep their nose out of this. It's a matter for, in my view, for politicians and senior officers.
Well, here's a statement in now to us from the Police Federation of England and Wales. See what you make of this, Chris. It says, the Police Federation are in negotiations with government about what mutual aid means for police officers. only when this detail is known will we be able to advise our officers on any deployments to Northern Ireland. Now, what does that mean?
What it means, Stephen, is that this problem has been festering for at least 4 years, to my knowledge. And there have been circular negotiations going on between the Federation and ACPO and the PSNI. There is a very serious reluctance on the part of the rank and file officers whose interests are protected by the Federation to be deployed in Northern Ireland. It's one thing sending over half a dozen detectives to back up an investigation. It's yet another thing to supply or to deploy tactical support units with riot equipment, with firearms, with all the sorts of hardware that the police need now to deal with a big organisation, a big event like the G8. And this problem has been festering along. We're now literally on the doorstep of this huge event, and the logistics, the security of it is now in question because of a failure to deal with the issues properly in advance.
Well, now they would deny that the PSNI would deny that the security of the G8 is in question. That's going too far now.
Well, it is because, the plan is for them to have up to 4,000 police officers deployed there. If this creates a difficulty, they need to be, those officers need to be trained, to be briefed, their arrangements need to be made to deploy them, and this thing's only 4 months away. And we may well see a situation like we did at the Olympics, where the army may have to step in at the very last minute and plug all the gaps. And that, of course, would be seen to be a huge failure by the police in Northern Ireland, that they have to resort again to the army, however extreme the circumstances. And there's nobody to blame for this except the police commanders on both sides of the water who have not tackled the Federation and the issues they're raising and come up with hard cast-iron plans.
Is this disrespectful to us here in Northern Ireland?
Sorry?
Is this disrespectful to us here in Northern Ireland?
I don't think it is. I'm trying to
work out if the Police Federation of England and Wales would advise their volunteers not to attend, a G8 if it was in London, not to attend a G8 if it was in Birmingham or Manchester.
I don't think they're particularly concerned about the G8, to be truthful. I think the thing they're really concerned about is the G8, there'll be a big sterile security zone, there'll be an intensive security presence in that sterile zone, and many of these officers will play a part in that. I think that they're looking around the next corner, and they're worried that if the police force of Northern Ireland, police service of Northern Ireland, cannot cope with sustained public disorder for over a period of time in more than one location, that they'll be looking to bring in riot police from Britain. And that's where the real worry is, because they have not learned and been trained to deal with the sort of extreme rioting situations that exist here, with the danger of firearms and explosives being used against them. That's the real worry. And that's the root of all the opposition to this.
John O'Connor,
negotiated about this for 4 years at least without agreement.
John O'Connor, would you be concerned that here we are in March, April, May, and we've got the G8 in June? We're 3 months before this.
Well, I think I may be looking to be saying that maybe the G8 shouldn't be held in Northern Ireland.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I don't think that the PSNI have got the ability to provide enough security to guarantee that a meeting like that can go off without interruption.
Where do you get that from?
Sorry?
Where do you get that statement from?
We've seen the disturbances in East Belfast. We've seen the disturbances that go on, that where apparently the PSNI have appeared to be unable to control a lot of the disorder. Now, if you get violent organised disorder, which is probably likely to occur on an international basis, and they've not been able to contain disorder domestically, I think maybe it's not a good idea at this stage, where the PSNI does appear to be under strength and does appear to be lacking in the ability to control violent disorder, that maybe it's not a good idea to have that summit there.
Tell you what, John O'Connor, there will be many people thinking that you're being dramatically unfair this morning on the PSNI, and I would remind you that you know, you're not talking today about the police forces in England who did not contain the disorder there during the Tottenham riots.
I agree. And
you're saying Northern Ireland's police force isn't good enough, capable of containing a security situation at the G8? That's a big statement for a former commander of Scotland Yard to make.
No, I don't think it is. I think you're going to sit down and work out where you're going to have a conference and where there's likely to be disturbances, and you want to have it somewhere that has got a history of stability. And you can't really say...
We have some of the most experienced police officers in the world here.
I'm sorry, Stephen, you can't put your hand on your heart and say that the recent history of Northern Ireland has shown that domestically it's completely stable. I don't think it is. I think you need to have a much stronger police presence there. And it's quite clear that they think that themselves, because otherwise they wouldn't be asking for aid from the mainland. So in my view, I think that the difficulties that will be presented by trying to police a conference like that, when you know that there are inadequacies as far as the public disorder is concerned, and you know that there's a requirement...
What inadequacies?
Why are they asking, Chris? Why are they asking for mutual aid from the UK? And as your other guest has said,
this has been going on
for a long, long time, and they haven't yet decided how they're going to do it. And you know, really, I think that maybe this is the time for the crunch. If they're not going to be able to send enough officers, are they going to go ahead with this G8 conference? I don't know.
John O'Connor, this is a major world event. It is not bizarre. It is not strange for a police force anywhere in the UK to ask for help and assistance at a major world event. As far as I know, when this event was at Glen Eagles, help was asked for from around the UK. Even you know, be very careful about slagging off Northern Ireland and saying that we're not capable, John.
No, I'm talking about reality here, and I'm not talking about making a comparison to sending police officers to Northern Ireland. As your other guest said, we're going to send riot police with guns and so forth. I mean, who's going to go there? How are they going to be equipped? Who's going to be in charge of them? And politically, that could be seen to be a red rag to a bull. That's completely different to a conference in Glen Eagles. I mean, you can't make a comparison like that. I mean, if this had already been arranged and the contingency plans were in place and they'd all been fully agreed and the risk assessments had been done a long time ago, there'd be no problem with it. But the risk assessments clearly haven't been done. It hasn't been agreed. And now the people of Northern Ireland will be sitting there waiting for this conference to occur, not even being assured that there's going to be sufficient police to ensure their safety. I'm sorry, it makes sense to me that if you can't control, if something like that is likely to get out of control, then don't have it.
Well, this is turning into a very significant story now this morning. The Assistant Chief Constable Alistair Finlay from the PSNI is joining us. Alistair, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You have a former commander of Scotland Yard here, so he's got the pips, Alistair, and he's essentially wondering whether we've got the capability to police the GN.
Yes, and the short answer to that is yes. Yes, we have, and yes, we will have in time for the G8 in June. I'm confident that we'll have the support that we need from our colleagues in Scotland, England and Wales, who will come across for that very short period of time to give us the uplift that's required for an event of this particular size.
Is it sorted by now?
It's a work in progress. In the short period of time that we have to deliver all of this, we're doing things in parallel. So what I have got is a commitment from officers in England and Wales who are very keen to come. We are seeing that coming through the commitment from the chief constables and from the officers on the ground. And we're working with colleagues in the Federation who do quite properly have issues that they're responsible for in terms of the health, the welfare, the safety of their particular members. And we're working through those in terms of the detail around about insurance.
And help us, Alistair, what are their concerns?
There are concerns around their health and safety, how they're going to be deployed, where they're going to be staying, what they're going to be paid, what insurance provisions prevail around about them. A whole range of issues that we are in dialogue and have been for some time with them, and that's coming to a very positive direction of travel, and I'm sure we'll all be concluded in order to deliver this properly to their satisfaction.
And in terms of the health and safety, they're asking questions about the the level of terrorist threat here in Northern Ireland? Is that what it is? Whether they're going to be targets, is that what it is?
Well, it's an uncertain landscape for them, and for many of them, they need to explain what the landscape of policing looks like in Northern Ireland, but it's how we're going to deploy them. And we're not going to be deploying them along into areas like conventional policing. They're going to be used for protecting the venues and managing protests that comes with G8. And that's a different type of protest than we usually see here in Northern Ireland.
But for example, Assistant Chief Constable, if the Police Federation for the West Midlands, I don't know if they have asked this question, but it's a pretty obvious question. If they ask the PSNI, if any officer comes to police the G8 here, will that officer be a likely target for dissidents? What is the answer to that?
The answer is that policing is a target for dissidents. They are aware of that, but they're also aware of the protective measures that we put in day and daily to protect the officers that go around their business, keeping people safe in Northern Ireland. And those measures are applied in a similar way to their deployments in Northern Ireland. We're not going to put people at undue risk.
But these would be officers who are not used to carrying weapons, are not used to the situation in Northern Ireland, are not used to the training that you give your officers here in Northern Ireland, because there is a different situation here.
They aren't going to be deployed in doing the duties that you would find officers in Northern Ireland doing.
But you would concede that they would, nevertheless, by coming here, become a threat, become a target.
If they're part of policing, there is a moderate threat against them. And we have means of mitigating that threat. That's always the case. I mean, officers are at risk wherever they are in the United Kingdom. Sadly, we've seen colleagues killed in England recently, going around proper policing business, and that has happened. We've seen colleagues in Garda Síochána killed, going about proper policing business. Northern Ireland, in some ways, isn't much different to all of that. But we have different protective measures, different tactics and techniques, and we will be providing the protective equipment and we'll be doing training round about acclimatisation to Northern Ireland. And that will be happening in the lead-up to G8.